My guest at this time is Brigitte Gabriel. She is the president of ActForAmerica.org and the author of They Must Be Stopped, Why We Must Defeat Radical Islam and How We Can Do It. We want to get her thoughts on a number of emerging stories, including the situations in Nigeria and Sudan, as well as the strength of Al-Qaeda right now on the international stage. And Brigitte, it's always good to have you with us. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. I'm glad to be back with you.
One of the stories that's making news here in the last couple of days is the new FBI director, James Comey, who was the second highest ranking figure in the Justice Department during part of the George W. Bush administration, said he came into office thinking that, for the most part, Al-Qaeda had been dismantled and was easily on the road to defeat. Now he says, although Al-Qaeda looks a lot different, it's not a big centralized organization anymore, but many different branches around the world, he says it's just as big of a threat as ever. Does that surprise you at all?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. And it's because our government underestimated and did not identify the ideology behind Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda in Arabic means the base, Al-Qaeda, by which they can export that ideology worldwide. So today when we look at terrorist organizations across the globe, whether it's Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, Ansar al-Shukra, you name it, you go down the list, Hamas, Hezbollah, etc., what brings them together is the same ideology that Al-Qaeda, but now it is metastasizing worldwide because we are seeing radical Islam and groups organized across the world feeling empowered to bring back and resurrect an Islamic caliphate and establish Islam as they see it in their own eyes, as it was practiced during the days of Muhammad.
Brigitte, how is the threat different because of the fact there are these localized organizations rather than one person or one small group of people giving orders from Saudi Arabia or Afghanistan or Pakistan, wherever bin Laden used to be back in the day? How is the threat different now that there are so many different organizations in different parts of the world?
The only difference in the threat is that the West is now awake and has taken measures to protect people all over the world from terrorist attacks. So we're not going to see attacks on a mega scale the way we saw on 9/11, for example, and carried on simultaneously, like attacking the Pentagon, attacking the World Trade Center. So now what's happening with their attacks is they are more localized and more on a smaller scale. Attacking malls, shooting at hotels, kidnapping girls from schools. And so we are seeing them carry on their attacks based on instructions. I mean, remember, with the internet, they can go to different Inspire magazine or whatever internet publication, Islamic radical organizations on the internet, and copy and borrow ideas that have worked before in how to make bombs and how to attack people.
Let's talk about the way to confront this now, since the title of your book is They Must Be Stopped, and part of the subhead is how we can do it. So what is the strategy? You mentioned before that we're not confronting the ideology. Why is that the key, and how do we do that effectively?
It is very key, because unless we identify what we are really dealing with, we're not going to be able to defeat it. And I'll give you a perfect example. Boko Haram, for example. We've been hearing a lot about Boko Haram in the West as an organization that is, you know, against the Western education is forbidden. They do not want to educate the girls. But Boko Haram, for example, its formal Arabic name is Jama'at Ahl Sunnah Lid-Dawah Wal-Jihad, the fellowship of the people of the tradition for preaching and holy war. Most of the girls that were kidnapped, 90% of them were Christians. The majority of the girls that either escaped or were released by their abductors were Muslims. So we as a nation, we as the West, must identify that we are dealing with a problem of radical Islamists against anything non-Muslim, and that's what they are pushing. Unless we today in the West are able to even report on a story with all the intricacies of the story, no matter how uncomfortable the truth may be, we have to speak the truth in order to devise a solution, in order to defeat the problem. That's the first step that the West needs to do. The second thing is, citizens in the West must be educated and must be mobilized and organized. I talk in my book about, and they must be stopped, I talk about my organization, Act for America. Act for America today is the largest national security grassroots movement in America, with 280,000 members and 875 chapters nationwide, with a full-time lobbyist on Capitol Hill. We notify people about bills coming down for a vote, what they can do to express their views. For example, we have different bills working across the nation about female genital mutilation. Most people are surprised to hear that this is happening in America. But because of the rise of Islamic radicalism, it is happening in the United States. And we need to put laws to protect Muslim girls in our own communities. We passed different bills like American Laws for American Courts. People can get more information on our activities and our chapters by going to our website, actforamerica.org.
How encouraged are you, Brigitte, by the fact that a lot of these stories, particularly involving women in Islamic countries, seem to be getting quite a bit of attention? You mentioned Boko Haram and the kidnapped Nigerian schoolgirls. That's obviously gotten a phenomenal amount of attention, especially since Boko Haram threatened to sell the girls. They got a lot more attention after that. And also the story of Dr. Miriam Ibrahim in Sudan, the Christian woman who is on death row now for converting to Christianity. There's a lot of outrage, and a lot of folks pointed out that these sorts of conversion death sentences have been commonplace in the Islamic world, but now it's getting a lot of attention. Do you think a corner is being turned there or not?
I think it is, especially in the eyes of Westerners, and not because we want to learn and want to get informed, but because our enemies, Greg, are forcing us to open our eyes and get informed. I mean, here we have the lady incident that sentenced to death. We have the girls kidnapped in Nigeria. All of a sudden, when you watch the news, anywhere you are in the Western world or anywhere you are in the world, you are hearing these types of stories coming from different parts of the world over and over and over. And it is forcing us to ask questions. How come all these things are happening again and again from the same groups of people in Islamic countries, all coming from the Islamic world and have some link to Islam or terrorism? And it's beginning to open people's eyes, even so we're sitting on the sidelines. I mean, look what's happening with the Sultan of Brunei, with him wanting to institute Sharia law. Who would have thought that even Hollywood would organize to demonstrate against Sharia law? But I believe I see already a change happening, and the more and more we see some of these terrorist attacks taking place across the world, the more issues come to the surface. I mean, look, slavery in Islam. The only reason that came out is because of the kidnapping of the girls, the Christian girls in Nigeria, and the terrorists making a video about why they want to sell them as slaves and why they feel justified in selling them as slaves. So the terrorists are forcing us to confront the issue and discuss it and bring it to the national forefront, because they have brought it to the national forefront by issuing video press releases about it and talking about it.
Brigitte, many, many Americans are war weary at this point, given the many years we've spent in Afghanistan and the several years we spent in Iraq. And so getting involved militarily anywhere else in the world right now is something folks are very reluctant to do. On the other hand, a lot of folks say if we're not taking the lead in some form or fashion, there's not going to be much of a deterrent to these folks. So how do we play out that balance?
Exactly. And the number one thing we can do, Greg, is the United States needs to stay out of the business of other countries. For example, in Nigeria, Nigeria was doing a great job cracking down on Boko Haram. It was America that intervened 2 and 3 years ago and stopped the Nigerian government from being too hard on these groups. And that's what made them feel empowered and explode on the world stage. And look, we did the same thing in Egypt. Under Hosni Mubarak, Hosni Mubarak was not the exemplary democratic man, but he was a great ally of the United States, and he kept his thumb down on the Muslim Brotherhood, and he kept them in check. It was America that allowed the Muslim Brotherhood to grow as much as they grew in Egypt, and even overthrow Hosni Mubarak to the point where the Egyptian army had to go in and take back control of the country. It got to the point a few months ago, Greg, that there was no communication between Egypt and the United States government. The only communication was happening between the Egyptian army and the Pentagon. And that's a miserable failed policy on the part of the United States. So even if we do not want to go, and we have no business in going in and being basically the police of the world, we cannot do that. But at least stay out of the business of local government who understand exactly what they're dealing with radical Islamists, and let them take care of the problem before it metastasizes. That's the best service we can do to these countries.
A little bit of time left with Brigitte Gabrielle. Brigitte, we talked about how the West is becoming more aware of the radical tactics of these terrorist groups. What about moderate Muslims? What are you learning about what they think about that, particularly in the Islamic part of the world? And are they in a position to finally have a stronger voice in condemning what we're seeing?
You know, Greg, we can continually dream on and on and on. And here we are 12 years after September 11th. And with this thing that happened in Nigeria with the kidnapping of the school girls, have you seen any demonstrations in Saudi Arabia against it, asking bring back our girls? Have you seen any mass demonstrations in Indonesia calling to bring back our girls? Have you seen any mass demonstration in Pakistan, in Afghanistan? You think in India, all these huge Islamic countries with a huge Islamic population, the so-called moderate Muslims who are not really jihadists, where are their demonstrations en masse to bring back these girls to their families and not sell them on the slave trade market? None. Zip. Zero. Yet, when they want to attack Americans, we see demonstrations spring up all across the world and the hundreds of thousands of people burning American flags and calling for the death of America. I think the best service we can do for our country right now is remove the fog, remove the glasses from our eyes, and begin understanding that we cannot wait around waiting for these so-called moderate Muslims to come to the rescue. Because the more we look at moderate Muslims around the world, while a lot of them are in existence, obviously, there are a lot of moderate Muslims in the world. Not all the Muslims are radicals. But I think we have made moderate Muslims a bigger segment of our imagination than they usually really are around the world. And we have to acknowledge this reality and deal with the radicals the best way we can. If the moderate Muslims want to come in and participate and make a difference, that's great. But we cannot expect them to do so. We have to do what we have to do to protect our country.
Brigitte, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Brigitte Gabrielle is president of ActForAmerica.org. She's the author of They Must Be Stopped, Why We Must Defeat Radical Islam and How We Can Do It. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.